The fifth reading of Parshas Vayishlach is no easy read. The daughter of Yaakov Dina is abducted and violently raped. And then to add extraordinary insult to injury, the rapist is not only not brought to justice, but he wants to be feted and he wants to get credit. Now he wants to clean up and be able to continue to commit his crime under the guise of Dina's family's agreement and the legalities of the time. This is a big, big problem. So Yaakov's children, Shimon and Levi, carry out vigilante justice, very heavy justice. And essentially they show up to rescue their daughter after they cleverly put a situation in which the city would be weakened by making them circumcised. And they want to rescue Dina, and nobody wants to let Dina go. And not only Shechem and Hamor are standing in the way, but Dina herself is blocked by the townspeople. And they say, over our dead bodies. And Shimon and Levi said, okay, if that's the way you insist. And they basically kill their way through the city until they're able to rescue Dina. That's in a nutshell what happens. And Yaakov is not happy. They come home with Dina, having done their deed. And the Torah says that the children of Yaakov plundered the city that had defiled their sister. And then they came home. Vayomer Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi, Achartem osi. So the word achartem is an unusual word. It has something to do with Yaakov's peace of mind being robbed. Things are muddied. Things are unclear. He's in a state of confusion. Doesn't know what to do now. Achartem osi. Lahavisheini b'yeshev ha'aretz. You made me hated, detested, odious before the eyes of the dwellers of the land, the local inhabitants. Kanani, Baprizi. Okay, so they hate you. Good morning, America. So that's some more anti-Semites. He says, Vani b'sei mispar. But Yaakov says, I have a very, very small numbers, very few people. V'nes v'olai. They'll band together. V'hikuni. And they will smite me. Meaning they'll attack our family. V'nishmadati ani obesi, and I and my household will be wiped out. So Shimon and Levi respond to Yaakov, who is deeply unhappy with what happened. Vayemru, and they say, Hachazeinu yaseh zacheseinu. So what were we supposed to do? Treat our sister like a woman who's free for all, not protected, not come to her defense? What were we supposed to do? That's the extent of the conversation, as we know it. Already, immediately afterwards, God is speaking to Yaakov, and he tells him where to go, what to do. And Yaakov and his children do this, and extraordinary measures unfold, and Yaakov is protected, and everybody's afraid of him. But we're going to focus on this conversation. Shimon and Levi carried out what you can only term vigilante justice. And Yaakov does not seem happy. He's not happy about this. And their response is, what was supposed to happen? Dina was supposed to be free for all. Nobody's supposed to care about it. Yaakov doesn't respond. He doesn't answer. Were they right? Were they wrong? What was Yaakov thinking? What was Shimon and Levi thinking? What was his question? What was their answer? Why does he not respond afterwards? Why does dialogue not continue? The next thing we hear about is on Yaakov's deathbed, where Yaakov is criticizing their anger. So let's take a look at Rashi, understand the literal meaning of these words, and then we'll try to delve into the Mefarshim a little bit, and ultimately see how the Rebbe explains it. Achartem. Yaakov's words to Shimon and Levi are achartem osi. The verb is achartem. What does it mean? So Rashi says that achartem is lashon mayim achurim. It comes from the terminology of muddied waters. It's gemara in brachas. The gemara in brachas on daf chafei says that when you have water which is mixed with mud, mixed with silt, so then it's not clear anymore. And the gemara there is talking about saying the shema. And in order to say the shema, a person has to be somewhat clothed. Can't be naked. The Gemara queries, so what if somebody's in the bathhouse? They're in the water. The time the Shema comes, what should they do? And the Gemara says, it depends if the water is clean or the water is muddied. If the water is not clear, so then, as long as you're in the water, you could still say the Shema. But if the water is clear, then you can't. I mean, that's, whatever, a legal discussion about how you could say Shema or not. What does it have to do with this? So Rashi says, Chartem, coming from the terminology of muddied waters, means ein daiti tzlula achshav. Yaakov says, I don't have clarity of mind. I don't know what to do next. I don't know what you do now. You guys have just unleashed the possibility of World War III. We're going to be massacred. I don't even know how to respond. Chartem, Macy. You guys caught me by surprise. We didn't discuss this. He didn't tell me what your plan was. I knew, obviously, that this was a plan with guile. I knew the point was to weaken the inhabitants. I knew we were going to rescue Dina. Of course, that was always our plan. We're never planning to give Dina to the hand, give her over to a rapist. I mean, the truth is, it's actually mind-blowing. I find it frustrating, but actually borderline sickening, that people attack, like the Torah here. People say, you see, the Jewish people weren't calm, they weren't compassionate, they weren't loving. It's unbelievable. Like, in the hashtag MeToo movement, the middle of all this, okay, you have a situation where a young girl is kidnapped. A young girl is raped violently. And then, it's not that she's returned to her family. The king himself and the crown prince, he's the perpetrator. He has full protection, not only of the crown, he has full protection of the local government, and he has the support of all the locals. There isn't a single dissenting voice. They didn't return Dina and say, you know what, can we work things out? The crown prince really is infatuated. I don't know. He said, could you give us a daughter, please? Sorry, she's not available. Can't see your daughter. Your daughter is under lock and key. Oh, by the way, we'd like to negotiate. It's actually mind-blowing. So what was Yaakov and his family supposed to do? What were their options? What did they get dealt? A situation where Dina is abducted after being violently raped, and now they want to smooth things over and say, okay, it's going to be fine. We're going to take advantage of you. We raped your daughter, and we'll do whatever we want in the future too. Think about the future of the Jewish people. What were they supposed to do? Yeah. So Shimon and Levi realized they're in a rock and a hard spot here. Well, Yaakov waited for his children to come home and said, what are we going to do here? We can't attack a whole city. There's no way we're going to be successful. By the time we get to where Dina is, they'll kill her. So they have this plan. They explain to him. He said, listen, we're Jewish people. We have to do this with a circumcision. We can't do it otherwise. And by getting everybody to agree to it, first of all, they thought nobody would ever agree. You got to be crazy. The whole city should get circumcised. So this guy should have his fetish, this Meshuggah the crown prince. Forget about it. The whole city should have revolted. Instead, they said, no problem. We support his behavior 100%. We're all willing to be circumcised to support him. But now what do we do? I have no choice now. We got to circumcise everybody. I once heard a joke. It's not such a joke, though. They said, why do they want to get everybody circumcised? He said, because they knew as soon as they'll be circumcised, the rest of the neighbors will think they're Jewish. They won't come to the help. They won't come today. They say, a bunch of Jews being attacked. It's chilling. It's not even funny. But what do you do now? This does not go according to plan. The plan was we make ridiculous demands of circumcision. They'll say, you know what, take Dina. Forget about it. We can't do that. They said, no. Okay, no problem. We're ready. So they have no choice. They circumcise everybody. Now what do we do? Now we take Dina. They're all weakened. They can't fight with us. We're in good shape. They're not. So Shimon and Levi go in. And the Aruch Hayim says, the people started to fight with them. He said, are you crazy? Step aside. They said, no. Now you can't step aside. You can't have her. And because they said, this will be over our dead bodies, that's exactly what happened. Shimon and Levi had no choice. And they rescued Dina. So Yaakov says, now what? Now what do we do? I have no clarity. I don't know what the next move is. Rashi shares with the Medrash Haggadah. Our sages said, what is this like? Tzulula haisa achavis. Sometimes you have a barrel of liquid, and it's clean, it's clear. The liquid is clear. Whether it's olive oil, whether it's wine, whether it's apple cider, whatever it is, it could even be water. It's clear. All the sediment has settled. So the top liquid is clear. And then, v'achartamaisi. You shake the jug up, and now all the sediment has come from the bottom. Everything had settled, everything was clear. And Yaakov said, everything now is turned upside down. And Rashi explains, Mesoidus Haisa Viyad HaKnanim. The Knanim knew, it was an unspoken thing. They all knew about this. That in the end, She Yiplu Biyad B'nei Yankiv. That in the end, the children of Yaakov would conquer the land of Canaan and it would become the Jewish homeland. They knew this. Everybody knew this. It was an unspoken secret. They knew it. So if they knew it, then why didn't they fight with them now? They said, the promise of God is not for a long time. Until the Jewish people will come back and they'll be a big nation and they'll redeem the land. And it's not worth the fight now. It's not our problem. It's not our issue. I tell a silly vignette of a fellow who was giving a lecture in a retirement home. And he got up and he said, the world is not looking good. Between global warming and asteroid storms, all scientists agree that the world will be destroyed for sure in 100 million years. And one old man said, 10 million years? He said, no, 100 million years. He says, oh, Baruch Hashem. This is hope. It's not our issue, they said. It's not our issue. Why should we fight with Yaakov's kids? Yaakov's a scary guy. He's scary. Why bother? What do we need to get killed for? We'll get killed. Then we'll kill them. Maybe we will win. Why bother? It's not our issue. It'd be an issue in a generation, in two and three. In 100 years, they'll deal with it. Why bother deal with it now? So therefore, Yaakov and his children were left alone. That's what they're quiet. But now when this happened, they'll say, uh-oh, now it is our problem. It's landed in our lap. Yaakov's children already begun the liberation. They're starting to conquer the land. They just took over a city, Shechem. We better get rid of it now. We have to deal with a Jewish problem now. It's like the anti-Semites who believe they have a Jewish problem. It's not a Jewish problem now. So they leave it. Why bother? They don't like Jews, but they keep it to themselves. But then all of a sudden they say, uh-oh, our Jewish problem is now a serious issue. Now we have to deal with it. Yaakov says, after the story of Shimon and Levi, after the story of Shechem, now we have a problem. Because now they're coming to get us. And how will we defend ourselves now? I'm just a handful of people. So this gives you the background of what Yaakov is saying. As Rashi finishes off the same misper, Anoshim Uatim, with just a handful of people. And they have a nation, nations. There's no way out of this now. So Shimon and Levi respond and they say, and what was your solution? Hachazena Yasa? What does Rashi say? What does it mean, Hachazena? Zaina usually translates as a prostitute, as a harlot. How did Dina become a harlot? She's an innocent little girl playing with other girls. She finally had other girls to talk to. She grew up in a house full of boys. How did she become a Zaina? Doesn't make any sense. So Rashi says, doesn't mean Kizaina in the typical sense. It means a hefker. Is she free for all? Can anybody do as they please? A Jewish girl. Knock yourself out. Have fun, Isis. Is that normal? Like, what did you want to do? Plan didn't go according to plan. They did not refuse to circumcise. They did not rise up against the crown prince. They supported him 100%. We had no choice. So now what? It's Achaseinu. Rashi explains, does not mean with our sister, but rather, as the Targum renders it, Yos Achasona. In other words, they would make our sister into a ridicule, into a joke. Homeless. There's no free-for-all. There's no justice. There's nobody to answer. You can do as you please, and you walk away, and you get away with it. Is that an option? Is that something we could have done? Ibsad Yagoran says, that the word achartem can also be understood a little bit differently. He says achartem can be understood as you have dried out, have removed any of the hydration, like when something is like soft or something is pliant and it becomes hard and brittle. Yaakov says, you turn me in a situation now, now I have no wiggle room. I don't know how to deal with the nations around me. I don't even know what to say. I'm dried out over here. You have ruined my possibilities of having dialogue with those around me. The Medrash Seichel tells, you rob me of my peace. But the truth is, it's not about Yaakov's peace. That's why Yaakov's angry, because he doesn't have peace of mind. There's got to be more to it than peace of mind. That's why Rashi develops this idea and says, yes, no peace of mind. In other words, Yaakov is really saying, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't have an answer. Where do we go from here? Now, clearly, Yaakov seems upset. What was he upset about? He's upset. He's not just upset about Dina. He was upset about that too, but he was angry about what Shimon and Levi did. What was he angry about? What was the issue?
They didn't come to him to ask.
That's a reason to be upset. They just killed the whole city. He didn't get permission. Like, let's put it in perspective. He didn't ask, but he killed the city. What's the bigger issue here?
Dealing with how to handle it.
Okay, so Rashi takes the approach.
Consult with Yaakov to, you know.
Like, listen, lack of consultation is not nearly as bad as mass murder. But that's what happened there. So the thing is, the way the Aruch Hayim explains it, especially, the way Medrash explains it, what choice was there? What choice was there? But the Rabbeinu Bechaya says that Yaakov was certain that there was innocent blood spilled. He said, it can't be, it was all like that. You could have knocked him out. Did you have to kill everybody? Yaakov couldn't make peace with the fact that so many people were killed. Couldn't make peace with that. And therefore he was deeply disturbed. Really, if you think about it, not having peace of mind. And he's disturbed. Yaakov was very disturbed.
To be clear, they didn't wipe out the women and children, I presume. It was
they did not wipe out the women and children. They killed all able-bodied men.
Okay.
So, you know what that looks like?
A whole world.
Well, they all, it's not like he went, you know, looking one by one, from what, what I'm gathering, right? They went out to wage war against them. Two people, and they, you know, with God's help, they wiped out everybody who came after
more
them.
More or less, everybody came after them, but not exactly so.
But didn't Yaakov admonish them for the anger with which they had dealt with?
Yeah, that's way later. He admonishes them about anger at the end of Chumash Chumash Bereishis. In Parshas Vayechi. Doesn't say that over here. Nowhere here in this verse does it say. You expressed anger. Yaakov says, "Achartem oisi." He says, "You robbed me of my peace. You've put me in an impossible situation." And he says clearly, the problem is like Rashi explains, "Nesfo alai v'yikuni." They're going to come now and kill me. So really, on some level, you don't need to have a question of what's Yaakov angry about. What's he angry about tomorrow? He's angry about the future. So what's going to happen now? That's like good enough. He's worried about there will be no more Yaakov and his family by tomorrow. But Rabbeinu B'chaya says there's also an element. Yaakov was very, very distraught over all the people who were killed. The Tziv Sekoyan says, Yaakov felt that the way they did this actually compromised their standing. He says, until now, Yaakov and his family were fearsome. Everybody knew they were very, very strong. When the brothers of Yosef come down into Egypt later on, they're fearful. They're ready to take on the Egyptian army. Jewish people were not only always known as weaklings. We used to be known as strong people. So Yaakov said, but what will get out there? So it won't have been that Yaakov and his family came and laid down the ultimatum, give us back Judah, we go to war. Instead, he made a whole secret machination. Old trick. So we really were peace, where we accept your peace offer. We would love to have you keep Dina and make her now into a member of your household. This would be a great thing for us. And we'd love to marry your daughters. Sure, this is great. And in fact, we're so happy about this, so excited about this, that we want you to get circumcised. You can join us. And the whole thing was a setup, was a trick. So Yaakov's saying, they used to think we actually had guts. We'd face the enemy head on. And now we have displayed a fear. We're not capable of facing an enemy head on. We're only capable of deceit and trickery. And this is a big problem.
That's clever. I don't see
it. Yeah, it was certainly very clever.
It was brilliant.
They had a great plan and it failed, so they went to plan B.
Which was also brilliant.
But Yaakov said, we should have then, if we're going to go to war, it should have been straight up. Then we go to war. But we didn't do that. Anyway, that's how the Sifsikayan says. He says now we become weakened. I'm just sharing with you different approaches. So these are the things Yaakov was saying. And what was their answer? Their answer was like the Zefarno says, Hachazayni Yasa. So tell me, so we're not allowed to defend Dina? We're not allowed to defend her? What? Because we're Jewish, we have to just sit by and watch this happen? What were we supposed to do? The Er Chaim says, you think that we've been weakened by this? He's with you, Nathan. He says, when the world will see that we're not silent when a Jewish girl is violated, then they'll have respect for us. Then they'll have respect. When we have no respect for ourselves, when we don't defend ourselves, then they make a mockery of us. Which, by the way, exactly what's going on in Israel. Exactly. When Israel didn't defend itself and didn't stand for itself, we lost. We lost because of this. The Reb Chaim goes on to say, had we been silent, we never would know a day of peace again.
For sure.
We reset the equation now. What choice was there? So let's take a look and see how the Rebbe views this conversation. Of course, I mean, the big question is this. And what did Yaakov think? Yeah, it was okay. So why was he angry? What was, you know, in the language of the Gemara, what was the Makshan saying or what was the Tartzan saying? What was the question and what was the answer? What's Yaakov's approach? And what's the Shvatim's approach? Clearly there's two approaches here. What was each saying? They said something and Yaakov just backed away. They said, Hachazayni Yasa Hachaseinu. And Yaakov didn't know this. What was Yaakov saying? Page Kufnun. So the Rebbe opens with a questionnaire. He says, it would seem that Divrei Shimon v'Levi ain't a muvanim. The words of Shimon and Levi are not understood. What was their answer? Yaakov said, for a variety of reasons, you've exposed all of us to far greater danger. And I don't know how we're getting out of this. In fact, I fully think and believe we'll be gone by tomorrow. We'll all be a figment of history. And what was their response? Yeah, we'll be a figment of history. We'll be wiped out. But what were we supposed to do? Stand down and just watch this happen? I don't know. Maybe survival comes first. Is it honor or survival? I think most normal people would say, honor or survival? I'll choose survival. I'd rather be alive and dishonored than dead and honored. Yaakov's concern is a real concern. And what's their response? Well, what choice do we have? I mean, it's always choices. So the Rebbe suggests the following. The Rebbe suggests that Yaakov's anger was not on the actual thing that Shimon and Levi did. Because Shimon and Levi... Shimon and Levi had the full weight of legality behind them. It's basically what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that according to the seven Noahide laws, which everybody had agreed to live by. What book do you have there?
I've taken two of them. That's why it's Kitzetze.
Kitzetze? No.
That's why is it there?
I don't know. Wrong book. That's Bamidbar.
Okay. Continue.
Oh, you fail. All the wrong books. The bottom book here is Bereshis. The bottom one is Bereshis.
Okay.
The next one. There you go. Page Kofnon. The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim that for doing something like Shechem did, the death penalty applied. That is seven Noahide laws. So actually the weight of the international court was behind Shimon HaLevi. The question was it should it be carried out in a vigilante way? And Shimon HaLevi said, well, what exactly choice do we have? What do you do when the courts are complicit? Here we are. Instead of saying, can we please see you in court? Can we please have Shechem arrested? Can we please deal with this in a legal manner? Instead, what was the message? Can't help you. We'll be keeping Dina. In fact, the whole city is ready to go along with this sham, this miscarriage of justice. So what choice do they have? You have legal rulings. You have a legal right and an impossibility to carry out your legal right. So what were they supposed to do? So the Ravid says, in that case, if the Rambam is right, then why did Yaakov yell at Shimon and Levi? Why did he yell at them for? So the Rebbe explains this in various ways, that sometimes you can't be so frum, so to speak, by the letter of the law. Sometimes you got to look at the bigger picture. There's a bigger picture here. So if Dina is defended, but in the end, there's no Jewish people left, was anything accomplished in the end? There has to be a better way. But what does Shimon HaLevi, they don't respond. Yaakov gives them a real issue. He says, we are going to be massacred tomorrow. And Shimon HaLevi's were, well, so? What else are you supposed to do? What's the answer? So the Rebbe suggests that the rebuke of Yaakov, like the Rambam says, was not an etzem ha'uvda. And actually we see that later on, you're right, when he criticizes their anger. Their anger. He says, the way you did it, it's not what you did. Because you were actually legally entitled to do what you did. So what was the issue? As you said, Shalei Siyaitzu Yom B'davar. Yaakov is like, I did a little living already, you know? Yaakov is already about 100 years old now. Being over 100 years old, and he's dealt with many, many situations before, and Shimon HaLevi are 13 years old. So the bar mitzvah boys are leading the hit parade here. Like, why don't we talk about this? Let's figure this out together. You guys just decided to strap your swords on and go crazy. This was not a good idea. As Rashi says, Shnei b'nei Yankiv, Shashi says, the two children of Yaakov, yes, they told the children of Yaakov, Afal pichei nog atzman Shimon HaLevi kishar anoshim. They didn't act like his children. Normal children will speak to their father. Yaakov was taken totally by surprise, totally blindsided. He didn't know what happened even. The next thing he knows, Dina's home, and Shimon HaLevi are covered in blood. So what happened here? Oh, you should only know. So Al-Kach Hashim Shimon HaLevi, Mi'achas Shemadubu B'maisa Chamur Maid, we was talking about something very, very extraordinary, an extreme situation. Ha'chazeinu Yasach Ha'chazeinu, Sha'ar sister become hefker, free, so to speak, for everybody's abuse. Oyer behem adover kanoz gedela. This awakened within them a fury, an uncontrollable fury. Shenova mepnimius nafsham. The Shimon HaLevi said, we couldn't contain ourselves. We lost it. B'matzav kazeh, a makom l'chishuvim l'siyaitzus. Yaakov says, this was not a smart move. Shimon HaLevi say, we couldn't think. That was it. They say, we couldn't think. We couldn't sit and make calculations here. All right, you know what? We'll have to leave Dina behind. We have no choice. We have bigger fish to fry or bigger issues to deal with. We couldn't do that.
That doesn't explain why they didn't tell Yaakov.
Why they didn't tell Yaakov?
Yeah.
It's very possible that they knew that Yaakov would not greenlight their mission.
Right, but that's already thinking. That's not being overtaken by anger.
I'll tell you what this is like. This is like a situation where you have a troop of soldiers who's in the middle of the thick of battle, who goes and carries out a mission of rescue, which entails great violence, without getting it greenlighted by the Prime Minister's office, without getting permission from the top generals.
When they had the opportunity?
Had the opportunity. They struck when the iron is hot, and they said there was no time to ask questions and get answers and have deliberations and have cabinets sitting. It was no time. We had to act, and that's it.
The truth is, two people against the whole city, it's purely by God's providence. Because
there's no question.
You know what I mean? Like, when you think question, about it logically, how could they have really expected to
right. There's no question. There's no question that
just two
that,
people, you know?
That there was a lot of God's providence here and there's a lot of miracles. But the truth also is that everybody who was able-bodied had just been circumcised. It's not an ideal way to go to war when you're circumcised 2 days before.
I get it, but even right. So, like, so, you know, if they
so they had, thought I, they thought they'd come in there. There'll yeah. be a, like a they'd stealthily come into the city. They'd anybody who was in their way they'd take out, and they pulled Dean out. Yeah. That's what they thought. They didn't realize the whole city would come up against them.
Right, but I'm saying so. One would think if you really thought it through, they should have used also relied on their brothers as well, not just the two of them. that I could understand.
And once they did that part of their plan, what were they thinking was going to come afterwards?
They didn't think about afterwards. In other words, like this. I think Yaakov says, you guys didn't think this through. And they said, you're right. We didn't. We couldn't think. Even if they would have planned to kill the whole city, wouldn't it have been wise, as you said, to take along Yisachar and Zvulun and Dan and Naphtali and maybe Yosef too?
No, it still makes sense.
Huh?
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense because they didn't sit and think this through. They weren't planning to massacre a city and they didn't make a clear plan. They said, we're going to get our sister. We're bringing our sister home. What Shimon HaLevi told Yaakov says, what in heaven were you thinking? What does Shimon HaLevi respond? We weren't really thinking. We responded viscerally. We didn't think.
How often in Torah is this a case?
Like, very rarely. But the Rebbe now says, how could it be that Shimon and Levi, on the one hand, they have a holy feeling of fervor. They want to defend their sister. On the other hand, it contradicts a basic need, a moral requirement of Kibud Avayim. They have to respect Yaakov. So you want to say that tzaddikim, and they're very righteous and acting in a righteous way. How could the righteous anger override their need to speak to Yaakov? So Rebbe says something very interesting. He says, B'nai Noach, which is the legal designation of humanity, outside of the Jewish people. The Kach Gam B'nei Yaakov, and also the same is true as the children of Yaakov, we were considered B'nei Noach before Matan Torah. There was no separate mitzvah called honoring parents. Like the Gemara says, that the mitzvah of honoring parents was given to us at Mora, in the lead up to Matan Torah. It was a hisafa, it was an addition to the seven mitzvahs. So, but you have to respect parents. Yeah, that's part of the seventh mitzvah, which is called dinim. Dinim means you have to live in a moral way, a lawful way. So one of the details of dinim is the detail of respecting parents. But it's not wasn't a mitzvah unto itself. Conversely, for the same mitzvah of dinim, there's a judgment to be carried out. There's justice that's wanting. And there's a girl who's been violated. And nobody's coming to her aid. And the whole society is corrupt. Everybody's standing by and watching. And they're full-on participants. They're ready to get circumcised for it. So it wasn't as if their desire for justice overrode their need for kibud avayim. It was all part of the same mitzvah. It's all part of the mitzvah of dinim, the Rebbe says. On a legal basis, there was no greater need for kibud avayim any more than there was to carry out justice. The bottom line, I think, is this. Vigilante justice is always a fraught endeavor. It's never simple. It's never simple. It worked for Shimon and Levi. At times it worked. At times in history it has not worked. It's a fraught endeavor. It's very, very much not simple. And if it's something which is calculated and thought about carefully, invariably it's going to be wrong.
I can only think of the situation while you're saying this of the Israeli soldier. His name was Elazar, something like that, who went to jail for being a Palestinian terrorist. He got a review second to none. Although he was doing the right thing, they reviewed the second
time
on the basis of morality.
These are the big questions in life. These are the very, very big questions. And I don't think we have final answers here this morning. And I don't know if we have final answers. Not everything has a clear answer. Not everything. There isn't. Torah tells us about this. And Torah says in the end, Yaakov stands down. He doesn't argue back. When he hears that Shimon and Levi felt there was no choice and they had to save Dina, Yaakov doesn't argue back. He doesn't argue back.
It's a sister.
And then what Yaakov says at the end of his life,
in the end of his life, he criticizes their anger, their impetuousness, not what they did. Anyway, Hashem should give us all koyach. We shouldn't be faced with these dilemmas. And we should have the strength to do as we must.